so he didn't have to call me Father Craig, because he's never done that. Amen. Thank you, Mike. Just a few words. The Lord gave me in Colossians, just kind of follow up a little bit on Friday. These things are just so important because, you know, we're revisiting foundational things, and I had a meeting with some guys from Birmingham Thursday night, and we're meeting about Bob Armstrong, a bunch of guys are getting together and trying to put on a conference here in Selma, like a prophetic teaching thing, and we met with some guys in Birmingham, and they had a word, not knowing it was really a word for our church about how God is going to give us new and fresh revelation of just fundamental foundational things again that you go and revisit. And the truth is, we never really get it, you know. Not like, okay, yeah, I get all that, let's move on. No, man, sometimes you go back and the root goes deeper, you know. And as the root goes deeper, the more solid you become in your walk with the Lord. So the Lord's always doing that to us, right? Just revisiting things, some of the most simple things. That's what sets us free. You know, sometimes we get too complicated, and it's just a little simple thing like, oh, okay, yeah. And then God just really ministers freedom to us. But in Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 25. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God, that is the mystery, which has been hidden. And we'll hang on to that word hidden because we'll be using that several times. That is the mystery which has been hidden from ages past and generations, but has now been manifest to his saints, or made known, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we're talking a little bit about a mystery, you know, and a mystery is something you really can't understand, right? You can't understand a mystery. That's the reason God calls it a mystery. A mystery is to be experienced, not understood. Okay? So when the Lord talks about he's going to make known to us a mystery, he says, in other words, he said, I'm going to make known to you something that you can't really know, understand. Only thing you can do is experience. And it's this mystery, and his will is to make known to us the riches of Christ. Okay? It's God's will that we know all that we have in Christ, all these riches, okay, that we'll be discovering again through eternity. And we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ, perfect in Christ. And for this purpose I also strive, striving according to his power, which works mightily within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea, and for all who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, in whom, again, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That we might come to this full assurance of understanding, again, resulting in a true knowledge of this mystery. Thought you said it was a mystery. Lord, it is. But I can come into a true knowledge of that. I can encounter it. Right? In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Second time we see the word hidden. So if you think about something being hidden, right, then that means that I've got to do some type of searching to find it. Right? Simple. You hide Easter eggs. You got to go find them. All right? In Christ, there's hidden all the treasures, not some, but all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ. All of it. But they're hidden. So that means I got to search it out and find it, right? It's not going to come to me just through osmosis, all right? A little simple thing, how the Lord did that with me, it should have been obvious, but I've been dealing with this person for out of state for a few years, and we talk regularly, and every talk is always, you know, it's not just a, hey, how you doing? You're doing okay, good. It's just always drama and just, you know, over and over, you know. So in dealing with that, I find myself, I wouldn't say dreading talking to them. I wasn't afraid of it, but it was just something in my emotions were like, would just start stirring up, you know, like it's almost when you go talk to somebody and you know there's going to be an argument, you know, you just don't want to do it, right? And So dealing with this person, I just thought, this just, you know, if I don't get a hold of them, they call me back. I'm real anxious until I talk to them. Lord, you just got to help me with this. It's been going on too long. And so I've just been praying about that, Lord, confessing my fear and everything. And finally, the Lord just spoke to me. And He said, what you're dealing with is pride. I felt pride. He said, yeah, you're just trying to handle this on your own. He said, I can really do a good job handling this and taking off of you. And all of a sudden, like that word I had, a place where the enemy had been messing with me and tormenting me came a place of rest immediately. I thought, ah, yeah, okay, Lord. I see it from your perspective now. And I can rest. And ever since that we've had that conversation, He told me what it was, there's been total peace there. So, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. So I had to seek it out. I had to go to the Lord. Hey, God, speak to me about this place. You know, tell me about this. Well, we know that. It's real simple. In whom are hidden all the treasures. I say this in order that no one may delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I'm absent in body, nevertheless, I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Another little nugget here is you're not going to have real stability of faith in Christ if you don't have some type of good discipline in your life. Okay? Again, coming to church is great. It's not enough. Right? Coming to communion is great, also. Get to experience Christ. Still not enough. You have to have some type of good discipline in your life. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. It takes a certain type of discipline to have real stability in your faith in Christ. Okay? So, all right, Craig, you're preaching to the choir. Okay. Well, sometimes the choir needs to hear it too, right? Because I know what hits me more than anything is distractions. It's like a circus is going on in my mind all the time, you know. And you spend the time, you're praying with the Lord, and all of a sudden there's this little, you know, and you're like, oh, I'm over here, you know, or my mind's way over here, you know. And I'm thinking about, gosh, I need to be doing this. Man, I need to be doing that. All the, you know, it's distractions. And again, the Lord spoke to me this week that, you know, I just happened to open my Bible to the whole Martha and Mary deal. And He was just telling me, man, you're distracted by so many things. Things of which I'm going to take care of. But choose the good part, that, like Mary. Just sit at my feet and finish listening to me. And I did. Okay? Good discipline. Stability of faith. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him, having been firmly rooted, and now you're being built up in Him and established by your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in Him the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in Him you have been made complete. We'll come back to this. It's one of the most powerful verses in all of Scripture. It's right there. In Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in body form. That means God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is just kind of like this thing. All right? One package. And in Him, you have been made complete. Because He's complete, you're complete. And He is the head over all rule and authority. And in Him, you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands and the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were raised up with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. And I like how the Lord uses that, and we'll get to that in a minute. I'm going to tie these two things together with two in chapter 3. But I like how the Lord uses this thing of circumcision as a part of removing our flesh from us. Okay? You think, isn't that kind of a gross thing to use? You know, but he meant that for a reason, because He does want you to see how gross our flesh is. You know? And that we really do try to live our Christian life out of the flesh. And He wants us to know this is kind of a gross thing. Okay? And you remove it and you bury it. Okay? And when you were dead, 13, in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He now made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. And He canceled out the certificate of debt, consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. And He's taken it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. Great scripture on justification. That everything that was hostile, everything that was against you, every transgression you ever committed was taken out of the way and removed. And it's no longer. Okay? That's justification. And I was going by a church the other day, And I saw they're having this thing on justification, but it was a church who also believes that you can walk in and out of your salvation every day, you know, or every moment. If you blow it real bad, you've lost your salvation, and if you do something good, you've gotten it again. You know, and every Sunday, they're getting saved, and you know, they backslide during the week and get saved again every Sunday.
Amen.
And I said, you, Bishop, I don't know that well. And I was thinking, you can't really know justification. You can't really know this verse that God has really taken out every decree against you and taken it out of the way. Therefore, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. It's gone, right? So, now, really the meat of this is in chapter 3, verse 1. If you therefore have been raised up with Christ, you keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So why do I need to keep seeking? Again, because there's things that are hidden, right? Not only are these things hidden in Christ, but we'll read down verse 3, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. What? You mean my life is hidden? Yeah. I'll share you a couple of things I have written. I don't know where I got them. I either made them up or somebody told me. Or I read them. The deeper the intimacy, the more I know myself, and the more myself I become. It's an endless journey of knowing and finding, being satisfied in Him. What's that? Oh, yeah. The last one? Let me start over again, okay? All right, the deeper the intimacy, the more I know myself, and the more myself I become. That one? Okay. It's an endless journey of knowing and finding, being satisfied in Him. And by looking at Him, I truly find myself. I will never find myself in looking for myself. You got this? Hear this again. By looking at Him, by seeking Him, I find myself. I will never find myself in looking for myself. Okay? And I've heard of a lot of people who take journeys, especially when you get in your 40s or early 50s and you're going through a midlife crisis and you have to find yourself, you know. And I always say, good luck. When you find yourself, let me know. Because you ain't going to do it. Because I find myself in Him. Why? Here. Because my life is hidden with Christ in God.
Amen.
And I'm in Christ. It's a hidden thing, who I really am. So as I'm walking with God, I'm finding out who I really am in Christ. My new creation, the new nature. Okay? If you then have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind, be intent on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Real cool verse. I can still live in the world, right, and work and do everything, yet have my heart's intentions on seeking Him and knowing Him. All right? And you know the truth about it, it makes everything on earth a lot better. Because then I'm not driven and I'm not consumed with these other things. And they'll do that, right? Set your mind on things above. For you have died, I just did this verse, you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. What is this part of me that died? Didn't you say my life? Well, it's the flesh thing we just talked about, the circumcision. That's who you are apart from Christ. Your fallen humanity. Therefore, I can jump down here in verse 5, where it says, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body, thing that Christ just did away with, right? We just read that. As dead to immorality, passion, evil desire, greed. Okay, that sounds good. And also, Where's the other verse here? I had it marked. Verse 8, but now you also put them aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abuse of speech to your mouth, lying to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. So that's the old self. Okay? So, when I get tempted with these other things, it's easy to say, oh, that's gross. You know, you need to do away with that. But in the eyes of the Lord, so is anger, malice, slandering, abusive speech, all that other stuff. Okay? That's also the circumcision yuck that we throw away. Okay? That's your old life. Now you have a new life that's hidden with Christ in God. I'm on the discovery of who that is. There's only one way to find that out. That's to keep seeking Christ. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will be revealed with Him in glory. You hear that? When Christ, who is my life, is revealed, you will also be revealed. So when is He revealed? As I am seeking Him. Because what is His promise with, as I'm seeking Him, I will what? Seek and you will find. Right? Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, and to him who knocks. So if you seek the things above and you're seeking Christ, you will find Him. And when He is revealed to you, all of a sudden, you're revealed. Your new nature, who you are in Christ, is therefore made real. And you're revealed. That's who you really are. So I really can't know who I am if I'm not seeking Christ. If He's not a priority in my life of seeking Him, and my intent is not set on the things above. See, once you make your mind up to do something and you're getting intent on it, you'll do it. Right? My problem has always been just getting to that place of getting intent on it. But once I get intent on it, I'll do it, you know? Like the kind of diet I'm doing now. I'm just locked in, buddy. I mean, I'm just like, even went out of town for a couple of days and didn't cheat once. So that's intent, right? I'm locked in. And that's how you have to be with seeking Christ. You got to be locked in on it. And as you're locked in on it, know that, you know what? The good thing is He's going to reveal Himself to me. That's a promise. You know what? He is my very life. That's the truth. When Christ, who is our life, if you haven't found out yet, you're not going to find life in any other thing. You know? Because it just doesn't work. You're not going to find life in what you do. You're not going to find life even in relationships. Because if Christ is not your life, your relationships don't work very well. You found that out to be true? I do. If Christ isn't my life, then, you know, everybody around me is miserable. And if Christ isn't your life, everybody around you is miserable too. Right? But He's my very life. He's my very existence. He's my all in all. And when I really believe that, then I'm on the way to self-discovery. This new creation that I am in Christ. And what will happen is if you go on and read down, for lack of time, we can't read the whole thing, but go down and read and, you know, put on a heart of compassion and kindness and on, it'll tell you who that person really is. But what you'll see is it'll just start happening. Have you ever found that to be true? As you just start seeking the Lord and you're following Him. I had this guy telling me this week, you know, because he just recently gave his life to the Lord and he's following Him. He said, you know, the things I used to really get pleasure out of, I don't want to do them anymore. What's up with that? He said, I used to have to, you know, I have to make myself, I just don't want to do them. I said, that's a heart change. I said, if you try to change your behavior before you change your heart, it won't work.
That's true.
But if your heart changes, your behavior will always change. So we just need a heart change with the Lord, right?
Amen.
Just coming to realize it, and it's real simple sometimes. Oh, this is just dirty flesh. Put it back where it belongs. That's buried back in the ground. So keep seeking. That's what His admonition to us. If you then have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. Where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you have died, and your life now is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you'll be revealed. So you're on this, in lack of better words, but it would help me remember it. You're just always on this Easter egg hunt. You know, always. And Jesus Himself has hidden a bunch of things for you. For Lois, for Robert, for everybody. For Margaret. Amen. And you're on this journey to discover what that is. And when you find them, not only, and you open them, you're going to see Christ, and He's going to be revealed to you, this mystery. These are mystery eggs. But what you're going to do is discover who you really are too. You know, sadly, most of us in here don't know who we really are. We may live life not really knowing who we really are and all that God has for us. Amen. But it's in getting in the hunt, seeking them out. And it makes them pretty easy to find, too, you know. Sometimes we'll do that to our kids just to be, you know, hide them real hard. Y'all ever done that?
Yep.
Getting warmer. You're getting warmer. No, colder. Colder. You're getting warmer. He's not like that. He doesn't dally with our hearts. If you seek, you will find them.
Amen. Good
word. And it'll be an awesome thing to you. Because in the self-discovery, you know, discovering who He is, then we become, Scripture says, we become fully alive.
Good word.
Right? Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.